you know, in fairness to Amari, I would say he's only been here on a short week. That is, what, 3 days now? This will be his third practice. We did a walkthrough on Wednesday due to the Monday night game there. So we'll see where it goes. And at the end of the day, we're happy to have him, and we look forward to good things going forward.
Head coach Sean McDermott, Amari Cooper, the new Bill, as they take on the Tennessee Titans. Good old 1 o'clock kickoff tomorrow here.
Excited for that.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good time. I think that it also allows for the fan base to relax a little bit now with how the wide receivers have been and how heated of a topic that kind of became throughout the offseason as well. It allows for everyone to, you know, just take a step back and just, all right, let's go. See what we got. Let's see what we got with Amari Cooper. And we can get connected with our fans about this sort of topic, because it's brought to you by Northtown Kia, West New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We head out to Scott in Williamsville. Scott, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. How you doing?
How you doing, guys? Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just kind of want to get your thoughts, because step back a little. You know, I think this whole thing, for me anyway, and, well, it is a fact, you know, it all started with the decision of 12 personnel. I mean, before that happened, the Bills are sitting at 13-3 and had a phenomenal season, obviously affected by the DeMar Hamlin situation. And then all of a sudden, it's like, let's scrap that. Let's use a first and I think a fourth to get Kincaid, a double tight end. And then all of a sudden, you know, you got Diggs becoming disgruntled after he started the season really strong, and the Bills are 6-6, which was shocking. And then, you know, we move Diggs, and we sit there, and Brandon Bean trades him and says, wait till we see our roster, and next thing you know, we lose seven starters, captains, and Pro Bowlers, which is unheard of. I've never heard of a team losing that much. And then you bring in Claypool, ridiculous. Scantling, ridiculous. You know, people said, oh, Curtis Samuel's never had a quarterback like Josh. I mean, six games in, what does he have, 100 yards? I mean, it's just, I think it's been a domino effect. And, you know, Amari Cooper himself said, you know, I really wasn't trying that much at the beginning of the season because he was disgruntled. He's got 9 drops that leads the league. I mean, I just don't understand. And, I still get upset about the 12 personnel. And you, Josh Allen, 130 yards, 139 yards, 180 yards. I mean, he's going to become frustrated, I think. So I'll just listen to see what you think of all that.
Scott, I appreciate the call. And honestly, I'm gonna try to talk you back a little bit here. And I think part of it has to do with Cooper. Having a guy like Deshaun Watson, who is now proven to be not just subpar, but actually the worst quarterback in football, it seems, that leaves a lot to be discouraged about. So I wouldn't worry about Cooper. The drops, I mean, I watched some of that, and some of them does look like it's on the quarterback too, like not great throws. A wide receiver will always say, if it hits my hands, I got to catch it. But there are better situations that Watson could have gotten the football to him with. There are plays where he straight up dropped a ball and, you know, you biffed it. But that's it happens. Like, players may be world class athletes, but they're also still human. Humans do make mistakes.
Yeah,
happens. The 12 personnel thing though is very interesting, because it's something that seemed like Ken Dorsey wanted to do, and it wanted to be like he wanted that identity to kind of be there for, and then. Like, yeah, it seems like they're trying to almost push a little bit too much of balance. When you look at 2020, 2021, and 2022, where they're just boat racing the rest of the league. Absolutely finding their way around and doing whatever they want almost offensively on a weekly basis. I do think that that has something to do with it. That 12 personnel really trying to shift in this direction and force it.
Well, also, you've paid Dawson Knox and you have Dalton Kincaid. I feel like you kind of have to try. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, but you also can eat contracts through playing time as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Knox is a capable blocker. He's a very good tight end, too, I think. And it would allow for a little bit more of the, all right, just go do what you want to do. But then the wide receivers, because of the fact that they were so invested in this 12 personnel, they took a direction that it seems like it kind of caught up to them. And what I see out of the Amari Cooper trade is admitting a mistake. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, that
You look at the build of the roster and how the offseason went, as Scott put it, and I think the Amari Cooper trade is admitting a mistake. You didn't do enough at the position. Hey, guess what? That guy's available on a really cheap cap hit. Cleveland's terrible. We'll offer up a third rounder. That seems like a fair little trade. And now you can correct a mistake. See how that works, Kevin Adams? You corrected the mistake of relative inaction at the position. And hopefully now you can try to bear the fruits of that correction.
Yeah. I just... My whole thing, too, just on the point of Allen getting frustrated with yardage count, I don't think that's something... I think that's more of a disgruntled fantasy manager's opinion. You know what I'm saying? I don't think
the player is going to be mad.
That shows the effectivity of this run game and how Joe Brady has revolutionized it more than anything. I think that's what that shows. I don't think Allen's disgruntled with why he's only throwing for 180 yards a game or 130 yards a game.
And if he does get disgruntled about that and they're winning, and it's not like he's struggling,
boohoo.
I definitely want that concern flushed down the toilet.
Yeah. Because like,
I don't think the player is getting mad at that. And if he is, I don't want him.
Yeah. That's called a locker room toxicity right there.
Yeah. That would be a problem.
Yeah.
So. And I don't want a problem.
I don't think Allen is that player either. So I think, you know, he even goes up to the receivers. He's like, today might not be your day, blah, blah, blah. Like, he said that. Like, he very much wants the team to win. And however that happens, it happens. Yeah. I think that's what he's at.
Yeah.
I don't think he's upset.
He's passionate about trying to get wins for this team as well. He oftentimes will state it in interviews very candidly, everything like that. So for me, again, Cooper looks like it's a correction to the inaction.
It does.
Of the offseason. And that's huge because very rarely do you get general managers of a football team or any major pro sports team be willing to make that correction. And it's not like he admitted it.
No.
The action admits it.
They took an interior look and they said, okay, this is what we didn't do. And they remedied it in the best way they could in the middle of the season.
Exactly.
And who knows? He said the trades aren't. It's not 100% done yet. The deadline still is not hit. Anything else can happen.
And that's a general manager recognizing, okay, the rest of the conference might be weaker than it could be.
Yes.
And the division is ours, which means that we are a lock for a home game and lock for the playoffs if it looks like we're in control again. So let's go and improve things.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's the action that states it to me.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's necessarily what Brandon Bean's thinking, but how I'm going to interpret it here is, it is a correction on the inaction from the offseason because that's ultimately what the result of it is. They did not do enough. And now he sees that on the field and goes, how can I help this group like this? I can help this group by doing this. I can help this group by making a correction.
Adding an X receiver.
And adding an X receiver.
Mm-hmm.
An outside threat that can really help this group beat man coverage. What it looks like, I was confident in this group, but it looks like they're not able to do that.
Yeah.
So let's get a guy who can. And he's very affordable. He fits in our cap. And I only have to give up a what?
A third and a sixth?
Exactly. A third and a seventh.
Third and a seventh. You get a sixth.
Yeah, you get the pick swap of a 6-7.
Yeah. How can you... I saw Pat McAfee break the news, right? He's like, this is like robbery. You're getting a pick swap in the sixth and seventh. You're going up a pick, and you're getting a number one receiver. Like, that's...
And usually, they throw those sixes in there to, like, move up.
Yeah.
In day two, And guess what? You just lost a third-round pick. Guess what that sixth rounder is probably getting bundled up to do?
Exactly. And you have back-to-back seconds, don't you? Not back-to-back,
you have two, though.
Two second-round picks. Yeah.
They have draft board maneuverability still, even losing a third.
Very much so.
They can get back into the third round if they want to, and typically they want to.
Yeah, because you saw this season. That's why they traded out of the first round.
Dwayne Carter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like he hasn't had an impact already.
Right. He filled in for Ed Oliver and did a pretty solid job.
Filled in well.
Mm-hmm.
We can shift topics here as we get to Nick in Buffalo. Nick, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday.
Hi, guys. I wanted to talk about the Sabres and their slow start again for the third year in a row.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I called in last year. It was about a year and a half ago, and I questioned the players' dedication to the game. And I'm talking the top players who just got paid a lot of money at a young age after essentially doing nothing in the league. Now, talking about Cousins, Samuelson, not Quinn yet, and Paterka because they weren't paid. But these guys get done with the game. Darlene says they were outworked. The youngest team in the NHL. Youngest team in the NHL. Their first back-to-back. They get up to the press conference. They look absolutely shot. Like it's game 80 of 82. I am seriously starting to question what they do in the offseason. Is there a development plan for them? Do they have coaches that follow up with them in the offseason? I look at their height and weight on the roster. There's 0% chance that Dylan Cousins and Quinn weigh over 200 pounds. 0% chance. So what I think is Kevin Adams gave these kids way too much money way too early, and now they feel like they made it and they're set for life and they're not trying hard anymore. And on top of that, Cousins has, like, you watch him, he's got no skill. He looks like a fourth line up and down player. Haven't seen the guy make one move on a defender. Samuelson continuously giving the puck away. Our captain, this Dahlin, Samuelson, Cousins, they're the reason we're losing night in, night out. And then that leads me to my next question. Who picked these captains? Was it Kevin Adams or was it Lindy? Because why would Lindy, a team of players that he's never coached, be picking captains after being with the team for a month?
Nick, it's a lot of questions there, and I do appreciate that. I'm going to try to go through these quick. Cousins, I mean, Brian Koziel said it. It seems like Cousins is trying, and it's just the finishing. The skill has to be there to finish.
Mm-hmm.
He leads the team in shots with 22. So that's not out of a lack of effort. Yeah, and he's getting high-quality chances, too. So it's not like he's finding himself like shoveling a puck at the blue line in and it just so happens to hit the goalie. No, he's actually getting into the dirty areas to create these chances. I look back at the Pittsburgh game as he's falling down, trying to shovel one between the legs, and oh, and it's gone.
Yeah.
Like, he's trying everything, and it's just, I don't know where the luck is with him in a Sabres uniform. It's just not there. Because he goes to Worlds in Team Canada, and the next thing you know, he's leading those tournaments in goals. It's one of the most... It's one of the strangest things, one of the strangest phenomenons, yeah. I think I should say.
It's literally an anomaly. Like, Samuelson, it just doesn't make sense.
The Samuelson deal probably was an irresponsible contract to give out because Matias Samuelson was a Dahlin merchant for 1 year. Played really well with Rasmus Dahlin because Rasmus Dahlin started to show up and say, hey, I'm that number one overall pick dude who got buried by Ralph Kruger. I'm here to stay. And who was his D partner that year? It was Matias Samuelson. He didn't have to do too much because Rasmus Dahlin was all over the dang ice doing everything and having essentially his wake-up call of being one of the better defenders on this team and then kind of getting toward that upper echelon in the NHL. I don't know how to explain it. And I think part of the problem is there's this lack of chemistry right now with Cousins, Quinn, and either Kulik or Benson. And it's been baffling trying to find out that second line when one of those guys is locked in long term. You've got to figure it out with Dylan Cousins. He has to figure it out for the team's sake, for his sake, and for our sake. Because I don't want to keep hating on him. A couple years ago, dude's the workhorse from Whitehorse.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think it's the effort that's the problem. It's the finish.
Yeah, exactly. There's no other way to put it than that because you're right. He is getting in those dirty spots. He's trying to do things. It's just
he's getting into high quality chances.
Yeah, and it's just the finishing. Like you said, he can't get the puck in the net for whatever reason.
You got to close.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And I mean, we can go on all day, but unfortunately, I don't have all day.
No.
I have 11 minutes and two breaks to get to.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to go. Nick, I appreciate the call, though, and I get the frustration because...
We're all frustrated.
Yeah, it's 14 years of it, and I know that this group has not been there for all of it, but like some of these players have been there now for a long stretch of it, and you got to do something. All right, let's get in, let's get back out, and close out the day coming up next here on WGR.